Have you ever had a vision you just had to fulfill? Well, that's exactly what happened with Dr. Joanne Cornwell. That vision was Sister Locks. Following her vision led to the creation of a natural hair management system that thousands of women could wear with pride and dignity. Join us as we take you to some familiar places and those that might surprise you. The Sister Locks podcast is where the story of your journey is told. Sponsored in part by Niche Agency, Afrocentric Branding at yourniche.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sister Locks podcast. I am Cassandra Lawson, your host, and I am here with the beautiful Dr. Joanne Cornwell, the founder and creator of Sister Locks.
Doc, hello.
How are you doing today?
Not bad. How are you, co-host?
I am fabulous. Thank
great,
you.
Great. I think they're going to love the program today.
I think so, too. Today, we're going to be discussing hair care for hair loss and how Sister Locks fits into that picture. What I notice is that conversations about hair loss can be a bit taboo, yeah. And I'm looking forward to shedding some light on this topic.
Absolutely.
All right. So, Doc, I hope you're ready for some stimulating conversation today.
Yes, ma'am.
And we'll be right back.
Naturalistas, get the fullness of freedom with Sister Locks, your premier textured hair locking technique. Like hair, we've grown, celebrating 25 years of stylish versatility that makes natural living easy in a community of like minds. Let's share the Sister Locks lifestyle on our 2018 Freedom Tours coming to a city near you. So, feel the confidence of your kink when you come home to Sister Locks at sisterlocks.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us. Dr. C, let's jump right into this topic, hair care for hair loss.
Yes.
A lot of us believe that once we go natural, we don't have to worry about things like hair loss. Is that true?
You know, I believe that. I thought that the answer to everything was to go natural. And it's not until we have years and decades of natural experience to know that hair care is multifaceted, and it has to do with diet, and it has to do with hormone, has to do with genetics, and some things that don't change whether or not you're natural. So, you know, it's something that we really need to talk more about.
Can you tell us how Sister Locks is getting involved in the hair loss conversation?
Well, this has been a long time coming, actually. I think it took enough women who were natural to get into mature stages of our life development to begin to see some of the things that show up in terms of hair loss, and then look around and not find any help, not find any structures or organizations, especially that are focused on our hair type. Where are they supposed to go? It's almost like, you know, 25 years ago when I first wanted to explore this whole lock thing, there was nobody to ask because there was no structure in place. People hadn't gone down that road yet. And so it's the same with hair loss. It's a real issue and there are real answers, but we haven't yet put those structures into place. So Sister Locks is all about doing that. And this is new territory for us. We don't have all of the answers, but we're partnering with a wonderful trichologist partner, and you'll hear from her, our guests will hear from her in just a little bit, because we believe that if we don't know, we need to find somebody who does know. And together, hand in hand, we're trying to put together courses and certification programs that can help on a broad base, help our women and men address these issues of hair loss in ways that make sense for people with our hair type. So, you know, I think at this point, I'm going to turn to you, Cassandra, because you're one of those sisters who has had to face the challenges of hair loss. Would you mind going into that a little bit for our guests?
Actually, Doc, I have a special passion for hair loss and alopecia through my own experience. Mm-hmm. When I describe it to people, I actually feel like it was a blessing when I started losing my hair.
Wow. Hold on. It was a blessing?
Let me explain that. I was lucky enough to have tons of hair. People always accuse me of wearing wigs and weave and different types of things. So when I talk to my clients about hair loss, I was always kind of, I tried to understand and tried to help them, but I really didn't have the empathy. Mm. Once I started losing my hair, I really understood where they were coming from and was able to put in words the things that they were feeling and that they could not express. success. And I'm very confident, so I'm willing to talk about it when a lot of times hair loss is a source of shame.
Yeah.
You know, we cover it up. We live in denial until we just can't cover it up anymore. Mm-hmm. And when you discuss it with people, they either say, oh, it's your diet, or, oh, it's not happening, when they don't really know what's going on. So I feel like I call it a blessing because it gives me the opportunity to really reach out to my clients, reach out to people. And I've had the opportunity to really help a lot of women just with the confidence issues, mm-hmm. with decisions as far as their hair loss, and that it's okay, you're fabulous,
yeah.
with or without hair, or whether it's a small spot, all your hair, or alopecia areata, what I have.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you feel like you got good advice and counseling and information and treatment when you were going through that process of, you know, transition?
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. When I first noticed that with my condition, I started losing hair really quickly. It wasn't mm-hmm. traction alopecia. So I went to my doctor and I had my husband go with me because I just knew that this woman was just going to say, oh, it's because you have those things in your hair. I had sister locks. Mm-hmm. They're about 2 years at the time. So I go to the doctor and I show her my alopecia. And of course, she looked at me. It's those things. And at the time, I tried to explain to her, you know, ma'am, I'm a professional. I've been doing this 10 years plus. I've never seen the type of hair loss I've had before. And she just completely brushed me off.
Mm.
And so that was really kind of tough, because after you go to your doctor, who do you go to?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that when we look at some of the remedies and procedures and therapies that we have now and that we're developing, it might be that women don't have to go through things exactly the way you went through. But I think hair loss is like other things. I mean, there's no magic bullet.
Mm-hmm.
There's no guarantee that Sister Locks is going to come up with the magic formula so that nobody will ever experience hair loss. But what we're after is providing good information and changing our culture. Because, for example, when people are very young, they don't think hair loss is even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't make the association between some of the things that they might be eating, some of the things that they might be doing that might be pulling on their hair, you know, or looking at their family history to just get some kind of cursory idea of how susceptible they might be to certain conditions. So what we want to do is we want to try to change the culture, for example, so that younger people have an eye open much earlier so that they can change their behaviors or look at diet or, you know, be careful of medications early on. So maybe when there is an onset, maybe it wouldn't be as severe, or maybe they can go around the experience altogether. So we're trying to change the culture. We're trying to develop products and work with people who have done that, and mostly provide education.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if, you know, the prognosis is not the best, it's better to know.
Yes.
It's better to know what your options are and, you know, what is likely to happen if you make changes now. But, you know, it's true. People end up feeling really helpless when it comes to their hair loss. And that's why we're pairing up with trichology professionals like our guest today, Cheryl Morrow.
Hey.
And so we're going to go ahead and bring her in on the conversation. So Cheryl's here with us. Cheryl is a trichologist by training, and among many other things, she's the creator of cosmetic trichology. I'm hoping she'll tell us what that is when mm-hmm. she gets on. She's also the chief operating officer of California Curl, which is a company that's heavy into the development of biosafe beauty products and technologies. Cheryl, I'm really thrilled that you could join us
today. Thank you for having
me. Welcome.
Well, both Dr. C. How are we going to... Sandra, you gonna get that together?
I just call Doc.
Oh, okay.
That's what so we have Doc and then we have Dr. C.
Okay.
That's fine. That's fine.
So your doctorate is in
trichology from mm-hmm. the National Beauty Cultures League.
All right.
NBAs. I wanted to I had interest in trichology, but it just really focused on other types of hair that I was not a practicing cosmetologist in. So I didn't it didn't take my interest. So I created Cosmetic Trichology, which is really focused on texture-centric, textured hair in the cosmetic process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when it comes to hair loss, there's a different story for people who have textured hair as opposed to people who have straight hair.
Well, most people don't realize that trichology, traditional trichology, really doesn't deal with disorders, conditions of textured people. But it really is based on history of hygiene and dealing with straight textures. So, and because curly textures, you can don't necessarily have to be of European descent to have straight hair. They have curly hair too. Mm-hmm. So to broaden that skill set and to include just textured curliness, Afro curliness, you know, is a different, it has different chemical attributes, different physical attributes, different environmental attributes and behaviors. So I really wanted to deal with that.
Could I just ask a quick question? For those of us who don't know, what is trichology? Could you just give us a brief explanation of that?
Yeah. Tri is for the three layers of the hair shaft. But it's also the study of everything that has anything to do with it. But its roots are in Europe, and it is based on a hygienic approach to how to care for straight hair. And they broadened, I'm sure, the information about more broader textures. But the root need for trichology to be on the planet, I guess, available to teach, was basically hygienic.
I'd like to ask you about this. Some people refer to it as an epidemic, mm-hmm. a hair loss epidemic. Do you think that's an exaggeration that among our women, African-descended women, there's a hair loss epidemic?
Hmm. Well, what I will say, I think the epidemic is the ignorance, not the actual occurrence. When you don't have any remedies, and then you don't have what you call the accredited collegiate world or the state when you don't have no real scientific body that can be turned to and say, oh, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that epidemic language is in something that doesn't have a cure or doesn't have some lineage or you know, with ending or being able to be cured or solved. So I think the word epidemic kind of just got thrown in there because there is no real professional body that exclusively talks about, deals with, it examines, or type or kind of just has a remedy for why, or, you know, just some rhyme or reason. Why does these things just randomly? And I heard you, Cassandra, you had Totalis very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
That is a probably out of the skill set of that dermatologist who saw you, because it's just not studied.
It's not studied,
right. And instead of saying, we don't know.
Yeah. So what are three things? I'm pulling this out of the air here. Okay. What are three things that we don't know as a culture about our hair that pertain to hair loss? Mm-hmm. What are three things that we don't know that we need to know?
One of my favorite, I have a, I think a presentation that I do, and that is The Wonders of Curly Hair. In my first book, but just in the beginning of the chapter, I like to talk about its wonderful attributes that really people don't really know. One, that you have to talk about when you say curly, you're really talking about dominant. It's a dominant prototype, meaning that actually straight hair, I heard with the curly hair activist out of New York, Michaela Angela Davis, I think she always says that curly hair is rare. It's actually the opposite. There's more people on the planet, maybe about 95% of the people on the planet have some form of curly hair. It's very ubiquitous. It's very common. It's a dominant prototype, like brown eyes. Mm-hmm. And also that, you know, it does not grow in a downward direction. It is very photo synthesis, actually. See, I'm a science buff. But it's very, likes the sun, rose in the direction of the sun. And it can hold twice its weight in water, which it makes it highly absorbent. And it loves water, actually. And I know most people say, oh, I don't like shrinkage. You know, my hair draws up. But it's very bio and environmentally friendly. And also, you know, we can get, I can go on forever. But those are three, Doc.
Okay. Well, that the curly nature of it is dominant. Mm-hmm. That our hair doesn't grow down, mm-hmm. it grows out, mm-hmm. up. And that it can absorb three times its weight in water, which means it invites.
Yes, it loves humidity
into itself.
It loves, it dances, it moves. You can even cut it off away from your body. And if you were to straighten it, you put it in moisture or any type of natural environment, it is going to have this little movement and crawl. It's the most fascinating thing
okay.
to see.
Okay. It does give us a whole new way of looking at hair, you know, as a material.
Yes. As a fiber. Yes.
As a fiber. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. But now let's turn to, you know, the issue of hair loss mm-hmm. Itself. In your view, when should we start sharing information about hair loss? At what point should this education start being a part of what we share in our communities and our families?
Let me say, I wanted the guests to know, when we started having this conversation, Doc, you know, Sister Locks is probably the perfect place because natural hair and just the industry as a whole is probably the most palatable industry to have it in. You have to have such a broad mindset. And as you mentioned before, Doc, cosmetology is probably a little frightened and a little just probably it lacks the confidence probably to step into worlds that they are not really professionally educated on. So I think that it is a sense of fear there, and they probably because they don't know and it's not coming from their ranks. But when we originally spoke about it, you were so open to saying, okay, first, I like the information of it. Mm-hmm. Second, because we do have so much to learn, let's allow Sister Locks, because they're already there with understanding texture-centric information and in the textured world and certain facts that you teach in just the certification process. So it was a natural match. Mm-hmm. And I think that because it's attached to a technique
right.
and a hairstyle that becomes a lifestyle, it made more sense for us to be partners and to expose them just a little further.
Yeah. And just to clarify what Cheryl is talking about, we created a certification called Trichology Analyst. Mm-hmm. And that is empowering our certified consultants who take the certification, empowering them with the ability to take their clients through a process of analysis and exploration into the mm-hmm. current state of hair loss development or potential for hair loss. Mm-hmm. And then we partner with a trichologist like Cheryl, and she will then do the technical kind of scientific evaluation and then return that information to the trichology analyst and the client about what exactly is going on with their hair, what's going on with their hair loss, and what the potential is for addressing that. Not only that, but Cheryl is part of the Morrow, as in Woolly Morrow, product development clan. So she has ready access to the means to develop therapies and specifically products to address specific hair loss conditions. Mm-hmm. And so she helps us communicate to the client what they need to do, what kind of regimen they need to be placed on so that they can work with their hair loss issues and recapture whatever potential they might have for hair growth or hair regrowth. Now, you notice I'm not saying promising that.
Yes. Mm-hmm, yes.
Yeah, I'm not saying promising anything.
And by the time, because of just the environment within the Sister Locks organization, we have so much room for information like, let's say, when some of the, I see some of the questionnaires from the trichology analysts, there are so many prognoses. I mean, there's so many, correction, there's so many diagnoses. Hair loss just doesn't randomly happen. Mm-hmm. And aside from hereditary, but it is just not something that is happens mostly to Black women just randomly. There is a cause. Mm-hmm. And when you, the questionnaire that Locke Trichology is, it is more in depth, more intense, because there is a story there. There's when it happened. There's feelings. There's all types of variables. Mm-hmm. It's in the dermatology and in the cosmetology arena and behind someone's chair, they're always just trying to get into something. Can it be solved, or can you grow your hair back, or just put you through to a service? But there's so much that the client wants to know.
So you're saying the approach of cosmetic trichology is to look at the whole person and to bring that into the conversation in order to get to some specific therapy that's going to address these various areas.
And there's always a there's always a combination of recovery too. You just don't do one thing, you know, just stop using the shampoo. It's not, you know, not just it's just something to say, I think, because the industry just doesn't have anything to say.
Well, would you say that when you work with clients, do you have a good success rate in recovering hair growth potential? Mm-hmm. Is that something that you actually see, or is it more like helping people understand how to cope with what they're facing?
Both. I think that once we identify that the hair loss is usually either a stressor or hormonal, or it's just, you know, fungal or something, and you still have the follicles healthy, it usually recovers. And that's why the diagnosis is important, because I can say with if it there was some type of scarring and different type of hair loss, then I immediately go into, you know, if there is a if it's not above 40% that I'm sure, then, you know, we are going to get into recovery. And
you're saying if scarring is not above 40%.
Yeah, scarring usually is a very low rate of hair growth back.
I see. So if someone has scarring, they're most likely not going to get a whole lot of hair regrowth.
Right, right. In the recovery and in full recovery. Sometimes the surrounding hair, who's the scalp. And here again, Doc, the Locke Trichology deals with scalp health more than hair health, because if you don't have the scalp to grow the hair you
want, foundation,
then to focus on the hair itself is really irrelevant.
And so just to round that out, if it's fungal, then it has a higher likelihood of being able to regenerate with the proper care.
Yes, because you can get rid or neutralize that.
And if it's more primarily hereditary, what is that?
Hereditary use usually means, but she's always been thin if it's hereditary. She just doesn't get thin all of a sudden. That's hereditary, just doesn't work like that. Maybe she will, you know, obviously through her paternal side of her family, that will be carried over, but then it will just be thin. You know what I mean? In cases of, and I want to explain the scarring, it's just not from an incident scarring, but it is a slow degeneration of the follicle. So the skin looks very shiny, and that usually has a very high rate of not being able to recover. But we also deal with what I liked about our creation of Locke Trichology. We do take care of what the hair that's there. We get into scalp care, and we take care of ourselves where we are.
Okay.
You know?
Well, you know, I notice, you know, when I look at the type of therapies that you develop and mm-hmm. mentioned that your company is mm-hmm. interested in biosafe beauty products. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This seems like a pretty radical condition. Are the products that you develop for addressing hair loss, are they biosafe?
Biodegradable means that the earth can break it down in its natural elements. That's very easy for most manufacturers to do. I don't know why most don't do them. But organic, how it differs from natural is how I explain it to people. You go into, let's say, Whole Foods, and you have a real big, bright, big lemon. And then you have one that's been grown in the natural environment, but it's little and it's small and it's 10 for what? 10 for a dollar? You know, we create the product for the environment. So if you create science and technology for the scalp, you take the scalp into consideration, keep it slightly alkaline, create these really growth, non-disruptive, triphasal. You don't want to interrupt the growth factor, you know, the growth phase. You don't, you know, want to have comedogenic, and that's clogging, or any type of really large polymers on the scalp. You want the scalp to always be in homeostasis, this real balanced state.
And so those are your criteria for product development.
Right. Any environment, regardless if it's earth, sea, water, it doesn't make a difference. What is that environment's eco code? Then you designed for that. Mm-hmm. You know, and so it's very easy to follow a very good protocol. Mm-hmm.
Do you find, though, that, you know, we're product junkies?
Yeah.
And, for example, when I first started SisterLox, there were no products for natural hair that I had ever seen. And now there's a plethora of them. Mm-hmm. And even though people go natural, they're still product junkies. When it comes to the hair loss issue, the tendency is to jump over the education and the behavior modification right. and all of that and say, what can I buy in a jar
yeah.
that's going to make my hair grow yeah. back?
That's
the quick
fix.
How do you address that?
Well, we kindly talk to them and we take control over the client and they know that we're doing the best thing for them. And I understand, you know, because some of my clients will just, cover the gray, you know, and that's probably against their best interest. So what we try to do is just take control over their future and create a nice beauty fitness regimen for them mm-hmm. and they get comfortable and they know what they have to do. And as long as, you know, I take into consideration that most women want what they want and they want it. And if I address that, they're comfortable with that. And then I put them on a road to where we can get them what they want. They have no problem.
Okay.
They're pretty cool after that.
Well, thank you, Cheryl. That was so informative.
Absolutely. I wish we had more time.
Yeah. I know.
You're welcome. I'll come back.
Great. Please, you know, come back. Like I said, I have this has a special place mm-hmm. in my heart. Mm-hmm. And the reason why, once again, I just want to stress, the reason why I say my hair loss is a blessing is because I can speak up for all the women and the men out there who are afraid to talk about their hair loss or who have been shamed about mm-hmm. their hair loss and all these different type of things. I'm a voice for them. And that's why I say that. And so I'm so glad that you were able to come and just kind of touch on mm-hmm. this topic. We know that education is the number one thing that we need to help mm-hmm. solve this problem. So thank you so much.
And I would just encourage people to go to the SisterLox website mm-hmm. and look up what we're offering in terms of trichology analyst certification classes, if that's interesting to you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming, Cheryl.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me. All right, Doc.
All right.
Dr. C, before we sound off, can you tell us again about some of the activities that SisterLox has planned for the 25-year celebration?
That's right. In case your listeners don't know, this is our 25th year as a company, and we are launching our Freedom Tour, which starts in March next month and leads up to a big cruise in the fall. We're going to be revealing our locations throughout the year. And our tour stops include Oakland, Baltimore, Atlanta, and Detroit. And we're going to roll out something fabulous at each of the stops. For example, our very first stop, we're going to launch our brand ambassador certification. Go to the website, sisterlocks.com, for more information on all of that. And I hope to see all of you, as many of you as possible, at our tour stops around the country.
Okay. So basically what you're saying, instead of having the annual Sister Locks homecoming in San Diego, we're going on a cruise.
Yes.
And we're having 5 regional events across the country.
That's right. That's what we're up to. So check it out and join us if you possibly can.
All right. Well, that is really, really exciting. In closing, I just want to say, please don't be afraid to be an advocate for yourself. You know, no one prepares us for hair loss. And as we stated before, education is an important first step.
Absolutely. And, you know, unlike 10 years ago, 20 years ago, more and more, there are resources out there for you. And, you know, we're doing our best to be the absolutely, you know, kind of the Lamborghini of all of this information. That's always Sister Locks' goal, to be out in front and to be as open and accessible as possible. So let's do this thing together.
All right. Well, I'd like to give a special thanks to Dr. C and our guest, Cheryl Morrow, for joining us in the studio today. Cheryl has opened our eyes to an issue and given us some really effective tools along the way. I'd just like to thank her so much. Thank everyone for coming. Please check us out at sisterlocks.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. And you guys have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you.